The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The Homance Chronicles.
The female equivalent of a bromance.
So many poor choices.
But so many good types.
But so many poor choices.
It's the Homance Chronicles, and I'm Sarah.
And I'm Nicole.
You
really sounded like you were a first-timer. We're only 200 and something. I think this is episode 210.
Well, you know, I gotta keep it fresh.
It could be somebody's first time, so
this is true.
You know what, we'll just go with that.
Yeah there you go. I like that. So welcome, this is your first time. If it's not, I'm not sorry.
Yeah, and we got a lot to jump into today. First, if this is your first time listening ever or in a long time, we don't typically do ads. We have done promo swaps in the past, but in general, we don't really do ads. Or if guests come on, they will give a code, right?
Right.
So we were approached because we're us about adult toys. So if there's children's listening for any reason at the moment, we're just jumping right into adult toys.
Now you're doing disclaimers now for children.
Yes.
All the shit.
We're pretending like it's somebody's first time hearing us.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so not safe for work or children or anybody that's faint of heart. If you're having breathing palpitations, please call your doctor. Do not proceed.
Right. So this ad copy is hilarious in a way that it's not meant to be hilarious, but when I read it, I'm going to have a hard time keeping a straight face. So let me just first talk about my experience before I read this ad copy.
yes do that.
All right, so there's another podcast that Nicole Byer hosts. Well, she hosts like 700, but one of them is called Why Won't You Date Me, and she was talking about an adult toy that she loves that's made by Tracy's Dog, which is like a super weird name for like a sex toy company. You're like, Tracy's Dog, like that doesn't make any sense. Anyway, she, I can't remember exactly what happened, but on one of her episodes, I think it was at a live show, she said that she would like buy everybody in the audience a Tracy's Dog if they DM'd her or something like ridiculous like that. And then she ended up getting a promo with them because she really like, she fulfilled the request, but wasn't expecting to get so many requests because of course they played the live show on her podcast as well. So
of course.
The reason that she liked it is because similar to your girl, was not getting a lot of action during the pandemic, and it was, I guess it's one of the, like, I'll call it multifunctional tools. So on like one end is like a sucking thing, and then the other end is like regular kind of vibrator, but it's supposed to hit the G-spot, like it's shaped to hit the G-spot. And so I was like, all right, I'll give it a try. She's raving about it, basically buying them for people. So I was like,
right,
you know, let's give this a whirl. And the first time I used it, I was like, whoa, I've been missing out in my life.
I will say that I was pleasantly surprised as well, because it's not It's like,
it's a little cumbersome looking.
Well, the thing is, like, with other toys, it always feels like something's being left out. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't feel like a whole complete hug. Kind of feels like a three-quarter hug.
Sure.
This one gives you, like, the full hug.
It does. So I had the original OG from Tracy's Dog. So that has evolved over time. Now there's an OG 2, which has a remote. And then the latest project is the OG Flow. The flow is like the vibrator shaft part is flexible. So
which is I was not expecting.
Yes. So you don't have to use both ends. I mean, you didn't have to use both ends prior. A lot of times you could just use the vibrator ends for clitoral stimulation. You don't need to use them as they're designed, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing a lot of people probably gave that feedback for them to make the flow, which makes it so that it's like bendable. So you have more options in case there weren't already enough options. Now you have even more options on how you want to use it. And it's totally random that Tracy's Dog reached out to us. They just said, you know, seemed like we'd be a good fit. And I was like, but I already have the OG. And they're like, oh no, we're coming out with the OG Flow. And I was like, all right, sign me up. Shit. So we're offering a discount code for 15% off your purchase if you go to tracysdog.com and you use the code HOMANCE, HOMANCE, you can get 15% off of your purchase. And I don't think that it's only for the OG Flow, but obviously, like, that's what we're talking about and promoting today. Now, if you'd like a good laugh, I'll read this actual ad copy.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. You may have had plenty of clitoral orgasms. You may have even experienced some G-spot orgasms, and you know both damn good in their own right. Now imagine if you can experience both at the same time in one phenomenal fireworks-like finale, and you can have it whenever you're in the mood. Tracy's Dog brings you the OG Flow, a double pleasure device that lets you experience blended orgasms on your own or during a foreplay session with your partner. The sucking stimulator delivers a nice, soft-lipped sucking sensation, while the flexible shaft delivers precisely targeted vibrations to your internal pleasure spot. This will totally blow your mind. Oh, and before you use it, make sure to get some towels ready at your side. Trust me, you're going to need them. Go to tracysdog.com to order the Tracy's Dog OG Flow today and use the code HOMANCE for 15% off your purchase.
You did great. You did great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you all. I just was like, no one can picture me saying this. I mean, they said like, you can change it if you want to. It's just like a template, you know, but
yeah,
I was like, well, now it's funny and I have to read it.
Well, yeah, at this point, it's goddamn hilarious. At least
you only made one audible. Like,
I wasn't trying to be rude, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I was looking down reading, so I couldn't see your face.
Oh. Well, just like thinking nobody really speaks like that. Like,
yeah.
I want an inside and an outside.
But you
orgasm.
Know what?
You know,
they don't
maybe
need
that's...
to be good at marketing.
No.
Like, they don't need to be good at promo copywriting. No. They're good at making devices that deliver.
This is the truth. The fucking truth. Amen to that, sister.
I know. I was so excited when they reached out to us. I texted you and I was like, we're getting free vibrators.
I know. So like my boyfriend and I used it. I wasn't alone. And even he was like, whoa.
Well, yeah, because each part of the device also has like 10 different speeds. Or
right.
Something.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, dang. Like he was evaluating it as if it was just, you know, kicking the tires. I'm like, oh geez, what's going on here? He had it open and was looking at it before I had a chance to even like open it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, cause all men are like that with toys in general.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's adorable. So
Oh man. All right. So I did type up my story today.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That
and it is
me.
A full 2 pages.
That reminds
size 11
me.
Font.
You guys, she and I have been doing Pose of History for a couple of episodes now, and this is the first time she has gone the distance and done an actual full-on book report. But it gets better. She fucking printed it out.
Mm-hmm. Huh? I didn't want to read from my computer.
Okay, so first I'm pissed because the stupid printer that I bought, the ink cartridges are already dead. I think I printed 6 things from it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm pissed about that. Second, I mean, that mostly is it. I'm pissed about that. Mm.
Were they the same brand as the printer?
And
they
came with the printer.
Aww.
Same printer as you.
Boo.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm mad about. Just that. Okay. All right.
Well, yes, I printed it because it's easier for me to look at you and look at this paper than it is to look at my laptop and look at you and have to operate multiple
things happening.
Computers.
Yeah.
So the reason that I did this is because Josephine Baker is who we're going to talk about today, and there's kind of conflicting information here and there, and some websites didn't want to talk about the not so great stuff, and other websites like breezed over other. I was just like, okay, everybody's timelines are funky. I can't find all the information in one place, so I had to get organized. So Josephine Baker is an entertainer and activist. She flourished on the European stage and became a successful entertainer who reconceptualized the image of Black performers through her unique dancing style and sophisticated costumes. So that is the one sentence, run-on sentence to describe her, but obviously I've got a lot of material here. She was born June 3rd. 1906 in St. Louis, Missouri, and her given name was Frida Josephine McDonald. So
wow.
I only found like little tiny bits and pieces about her upbringing because it was quite rough. Some sources didn't even talk about her upbringing at all. They said that she would go observe dancing at the theater. And I'm like, that's just way too watered down. So I tried to find a happy medium. Her mom was a washerwoman and her dad was a vaudeville drummer, supposedly.
Okay.
So some sources dispute that he was her father, including one of Josephine's foster sons who published a biography about her called Josephine, the Hungry Heart. Based on his research, Josephine's father was actually white and she knew the drummer wasn't her biological father.
Oh.
To tell you that little bit, I think I had to look at 4 different places.
Wait, you're kidding me.
No, that's why I had to type this out.
Oh my God. Okay.
And so whether he was her biological father or not, he ended up abandoning her and her mom when she was a young child. So either way, he wasn't in her life for a long time. And then her mom married another man named Arthur Martin, but he was perpetually unemployed. So
cool. Neat.
Yeah. And then her mom and the new man ended up having a son and 2 daughters. They lived in poverty though. And when Josephine was like between 8 and 10 years old, she had to actually help the family make money. So she was doing laundry for white families in St. Louis, and she actually lived with one of the families and was abused by the main woman, wife, mother, whatever. Because
the lady of the house,
because apparently Josephine put too much soap in the laundry, so the woman burned her hands.
Oh, that's fair. Reasonable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sounds like a legitimate reason.
Mm-hmm. When she's 9, 10. Yeah.
Right.
So at 12 years old, she dropped out of school, and some sources said that she was a quote unquote street child. So she was in the slums and would sleep in cardboard shelters, get food out of garbage cans, and make money by dancing on street corners.
Oh, so sad.
I know. And then at 13, she started waitressing at the Old Chauffeurs Club. And while she was waitressing, she would entertain as well. She would sing and dance and whatever, and had this comedic flair. Anyway, she was only 13 and she met this guy, Willie Wells, and they got married. Oh. She met him at the club where she was waitressing. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That marriage only lasted a year.
Of course. I mean, I'm surprised it lasted a year.
And within that year, in 1919, when she was still 13, she joined a trio of instrumentalists called the Jones Family Band, who they saw her performing at the restaurant. But she wasn't really performing, like, she wasn't being paid to perform. She was waitressing and then, you know, throwing a little extra sauce on it.
Churching it up a little bit.
Right.
What have you.
So, during one of her first performances with the Jones Family Band, she made the audience uproar with laughter because of her natural comedic talent.
So she was a joker like your girl, huh?
Yes.
Just she Gemini was. Things. Yes. Just Gemini things.
Yes. And then shortly thereafter, at 15, she joined a touring dance troupe and then got married again.
No, I was putting on my hoodie and my shit was all muted, but no. Yeah. What the fuck? Well, clearly her mom was not there, or her father.
No, they did not. She did not have a good relationship with her mother. No
adult figure. Let's just say that.
No. So in 1921, she married William Howard Baker, whose name she kept. Because by the time of 15, her career was already taking off, so she didn't want to change her name.
Well, duh. And like, what was the, how difficult was it to change your name back then? You know what I mean? Like, was it a tremendous amount of paperwork that it is today? Or was it just like, you can call me Baker now and that's that? Like, you just assume the name?
She did legally change her name to Baker, but she didn't want to change it back to her maiden name because people knew her as Josephine Baker.
Yeah.
Well, and she was already on stages and performing and making money.
I mean, like 15 to have that kind of like, I don't know, sense about you.
Right.
Trauma.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she was like 15 going on 45. In 1923, she joined the chorus in a road company performing the musical comedy Shuffle Along, and then moved to New York City. So she ended up performing on Broadway and in the infamous Plantation Club. So I don't have, I guess, any pictures to show you via the camera because our audience can't see them anyway.
Well, I can look her up.
But she, I mean, she is beautiful. She does look like she's probably mixed.
Oh, she certainly looks like she's from the now era. Like, she looks like a 90s queen. She has the 90s haircut and all of it. Like,
yeah.
She looks like a light-skinned.
Yes.
90s baby.
Yes. She's got a very like Toni Braxton TLC kind of vibe to her.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe like an En Vogue.
Yeah, something like that. She's
got
for sure.
She's got like an En Vogue kind of look to her.
Yep.
So one night when she was at the Plantation Club, a producer named Caroline Dudley saw her perform and asked her to go to Paris to star in a show.
Well, hey.
She's very pretty though. Like, I'm just like saying, she didn't mind making an ass of herself and could sing and dance and was that pretty. I mean, sure.
Total package.
Right. However, I just wanted to point that out because once she went to Paris, she became an overnight sensation. She was only 19, but it's partially because she would dance semi-nude in a G-string with bananas hanging on it.
Like, well, I was skirt. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, there's probably because
yeah so her show sold out 10 weeks in a row And French critics called her Black Venus. So that was meant to be a compliment.
I mean, it is a compliment. How?
Yeah. So by 1927, she earned more than any entertainer in Europe and was one of the most photographed women in the world.
Good for her.
Right? So she starred in a couple of movies in the 30s, and so she really had some money. Like I said, though, she made more than any other entertainer in an entire continent.
Year was this again?
That was by 1927, and then in the 1930s, she'd made a couple of movies.
Okay, so she was before the other girls that we've done in this era of hoes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So since she was so successful, she moved her family from St. Louis to her estate in France.
Makes sense.
I mean, there wasn't a lot of particulars if that included her mother or not. I'm not sure, but I don't know who all that included. Mm-hmm. One fun fact that I did find, though, is that she loved animals and was gifted a pet cheetah named Chiquita. Around this time,
who gave it to her?
I don't know.
My God, who, like, and where did she keep it? Like, did she have enough money to keep it up for herself? Like,
she did. She had an entire estate. That's what I'm saying. Like, I couldn't figure out what family, but I figured out her cheetah's name.
I mean, some things just make sense, you know, and that's not one of them, but
right,
other things do.
Literally in my notes, like, or in my writing, I put fun fact ... because there was not a good transition. There was not an easy way to include that in this story. But I thought it was funny. So she returned to New York to star in the Ziegfeld Follies, but American audiences rejected the idea of a Black woman with so much sophistication and power. So, unlike the French critics who called her Black Venus, the New York Times called her a Negro wench.
Oh, boy. Isn't that something?
Isn't that something?
That's aggressive, New York Times. Like, why don't we dial back to, like, you know, people get hung for their Twitter, you know, back from 2005 and...
Oh, yeah, we're in cancel culture.
Yeah, why aren't we canceling massive papers like
publications?
New York Times? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. So this made her actively confront racial discrimination. She got heavy into it, okay? And she was still performing, but she would be performing for troops and things. As you can imagine, she's not performing on stages and getting the kind of money that she used to get. So just keep that in your mind for later.
Okay.
So Josephine served France during World War II by performing for the troops and acted as a correspondent for the French Resistance and a sub-lieutenant in the Women's Auxiliary Air Force. So she would transcribe enemy intel onto her musical scores with invisible ink and then deliver the scores back to the French officials.
I mean, come on. Come on.
So she was a big star and they wanted to see her perform. So she'd get in all these VIP rooms and all these special occasions with British Army and German Army, and she would woo them. And she wouldn't necessarily like get searched or anything, you know, so she would just mingle with all the like high ranking enemies.
Oh my God.
And then send that information back to the French.
Oh my God. I'm like blown away right now.
Yeah. And a lot of times she would like take notes and stuff and put it in her underwear. Because she wouldn't get searched because
she's Josephine Baker.
Because she's Josephine Baker, yes.
Okay. You were talking about her a couple episodes ago. We were previewing her. And you said that she would, I don't know if I read it or if you told me, but she would do like sometimes secret hand movements or gestures on stage, like openly telling people information too. But Like only the receiving party knew what was going on. I feel like
you might have read that. I don't have that, but it's very possible.
Yeah.
She was sneaky, but not like super sneaky. Like she wasn't careful. She was sneaky, but not super careful.
Right. That's what I mean. Like it's very possible that if somebody kind of knew she was doing something like that, she would have gotten caught, but they didn't know.
Yeah. And so she was awarded the Cross of Lorraine, Medal of the Resistance, the Legion of Honor, and more for her efforts during World War II. Yes. So while all this was going on, she got married again. She got divorced before.
Okay. So she's still in, where is she now?
Marriage number 3.
And the,
I think
on the globe, we are in
France.
Okay.
She married and divorced a Frenchman named Jean Leon.
Oh
yeah. They got divorced in 1940. And then a year later, her and her entourage went to the French colonies in North Africa to continue helping the resistance. This is where she penned notes with the information she gathered inside her underwear, counting on her celebrity to avoid a strip search.
I mean, if that's not fucking helping, I don't know what is.
Right?
Like, I would not. I would be a red, sweaty mess.
Right.
And nobody would know why. I'd be like, I'm just having a heart attack, I think. I don't know.
So it was rumored that she had had extramarital affairs and had had miscarriages. So she didn't have any children of her own. But while working with the resistance, she apparently had a miscarriage that developed an infection so severe that she was required to have a hysterectomy. So, although she, at this point, I think that was her third husband. She gets married, I think, 4 times.
But
she doesn't have any of her own children. So shortly after the hysterectomy, she started adopting babies of all nationalities. And this is going to sound odd, but it was in the cause of what she defined as an experiment in brotherhood and her rainbow tribe. She meant well.
She sure did.
She raised 2 daughters and 10 sons from different ethnicities and religions. So 12 children, and some were Asian, some were Black, some were French, some were what, you know.
Yeah.
It was, you need a home, I got a home for you.
She was like the Angelina Jolie of the...
Yes, there were actually comparisons of her on the internet. Angelina Jolie used Josephine Baker as an inspiration or something for her own rainbow tribe.
Oh my God, funny.
So she lived with her children and her 4th husband, Joe Bouillon, a French composer and conductor. So yeah, we're on husband number 4 now. She often took the children with her cross country. When they were at her estate, she would allow tours so visitors could walk the grounds and see how natural and happy the children in the rainbow tribe were.
Mm.
Again, I think she means well.
Mm-hmm. I do too. I'm going to take this as a positive. I'm going to spin it as positive.
So then during the 50s and 60s, she traveled to the U.S. to fight racism. When New York's popular Stork Club refused her service, she engaged in a head-on media battle with a pro-segregation columnist, Walter Winchell. And all of this blew up in the media, and eventually the NAACP named May 20th Josephine Baker Day in honor of her efforts.
Okay.
Yeah.
May 20th.
Yes. And... also, during her visits to the U.S., she developed a close friendship with American artist Robert Brady. So her final marriage, which I believe was her longest one, to Joe Bouillon lasted 14 years. After that divorce, she was looking for companionship and friendship. So her and Robert had a little pseudo marriage. they were involved with each other.
Okay.
But, so they went to an empty church and exchanged vows, but like never legally got married. Yeah.
Okay.
Because they both wanted companionship.
Mm-hmm. Under, you know, in the eyes of God, they had to be together.
I guess. They were involved. Okay. It was an entanglement of some kind. However, there's also speculation that she was bisexual and had relationships with women. There was even this rumor that said possibly Frida Kahlo. I was like, internet, come on.
Calm down.
Maybe. Who knows?
Maybe.
In 1968, Josephine lost her chateau in France due to unpaid debts. So remember when I said that she was performing for the troops and now she's doing all this resistance work?
Mm-hmm.
Not doing real paid work. Yeah, so she lost her whole estate.
Oh, that's really sad.
Yes. But then Princess Grace of Monaco came in and offered her an apartment near Monaco. So she had that.
Okay.
She continued to perform in Paris, London, and New York until she died. So on April 8th, 1975, she was 68 years old and performed a medley of routines from her 50-year career. The reviews were among her best ever. However, only days later, Josephine slipped into a coma. So between April 8th, when she had this amazing collective performance, on April 12th, 4 days later, she died from a cerebral hemorrhage. I mean, she went out with a bang, though, man.
Yeah, she did. She really didn't sit and wallow in any kind of sadness or addiction or anything else. She just kind of did it till she was done.
Yeah, I mean, she was only 68, though.
All right.
But
she started her career at 14. She was tired.
Yes, that's true. So after she passed away, more than 20,000 people crowded the streets of Paris to watch the funeral procession on its way to the church. The French government honored her with a 21-gun salute, making Josephine Baker the first American woman in France with military honors. And then in 1991, HBO released The Josephine Baker Story, and it received 5 Emmy Awards and one of the 3 Golden Globes that it was nominated for that season.
Oh, wow.
She was inducted into the St. Louis Hall of Fame, the Hall of Famous Missourians, the Legacy Walk in Chicago. There's a wax display of her at the Griot Museum of Black History. And the Piscine Josephine Baker is a swimming pool along the banks of the Seine River in Paris. So St. Louis also changed Channing Avenue and renamed it to Josephine Baker Boulevard. So 2 of her sons grew up to go into business together, and they are running a restaurant called Chez Josephine on Theater Row in 42nd Street in New York City. And it celebrates her life and all of her works.
I mean,
so that's the story of Josephine Baker. And my sources were Britannica, Wikipedia, New York Public Library, CMG Worldwide, and womenshistory.org.
And oh man, oh man. And so I looked up the picture of her and her banana outfit. It's problematic.
It
for
is.
Sure. Yeah.
It is.
It is problematic.
It is.
There are some many stereotypes she is playing into.
Yeah.
But you can't hate a girl for, you know, trying to do what she knows how to do, and that's make money on.
She got a body.
Yeah. Adi, 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 adi.
Yep. That's why I was like trying to preface. I'm like, she is a very pretty woman.
Oh, she's super gorgeous. Physically, maybe mentally and emotionally as well. We don't know. Probably. Well, thank you for all of that Josephine Baker tea. I had no idea.
I didn't either. I didn't know what I was getting myself into when I selected her. Because if we would have done this the day that we originally planned to, I would have missed like at least probably half of that. I mean, yeah. Or it would have been much more watered down because, like I said, it was hard to find some of the not so great stuff.
Right.
But then I'd come across it and I'm like, wait, when does this fit in?
True book report.
I know. It really did turn into that.
Well,
there was a bunch
it.
Of other stuff too that I decided to not talk about because I was like, I don't know. It's kind of like the Frida Kahlo thing. I was like, internet.
I don't know.
So most of what I told you was backed up by like a couple of things at least.
Well, we have that going for us, a couple of things anyway.
Right.
Well, man, I am, I will say, the more the hoes that we talk about, the more I'm so thankful for where we're at today. And just, would we ever become hoes of history?
Question mark.
You know, I'm just out here thinking about things.
Honestly, we wouldn't be able to do this podcast if these women hadn't done what they did prior to this. So in a way, it's an ode to them. It's a attitude of gratitude for sure.
And just a small reminder.
Life used to be worse.
Way worse.
She had the New York Times call her a Negro wench.
Yeah, man.
Oh, so cringy.
It makes me pukey a little bit, actually.
Right? It does. Like, I was like, am I even gonna say this? Like, I feel weird saying it, but I'm like, quote, I'm like, I don't
know. It is a quote from a paper.
I've just never put those two words together.
Well, why would you, honestly?
No, there's no reason.
The only time you say Negro is when it's, you know, the word for black in that language of choice and never in foul term towards the culture. I'll say wench, 100%.
I don't say that either.
I have.
No, I
beer wench. Come on.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah, Josephine took me, you know, on some travels with her today.
She sure did.
Yeah, what's your atta girl?
Well, as a matter of fact, that's why I was a little tardy to our session this evening. I have started working out again. Yes, it's slow. It's low impact. Yes, it's in my basement. I'm lucky if I can get 20 to 30 minutes out before I'm like dead. But I've started working out and I'm very proud of myself and I have a lot of work to do.
You're not supposed to downplay your atta girl.
Well, I'm not. I'm just saying like I am gearing up for a lot of work.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's just the reality of it. I'm mm-hmm. not as strong or capable as I once was.
Oh, man. My chiropractor, not the one that you know, the one that's down the street. He was doing muscle testing as well because I was telling him like my shoulder was bothering me. And so when they do muscle testing, like you hold your arm out and you're not supposed to be able to drop it. And if your arm falls, then like they know where the trigger point is or like what the problem is. I was like resisting his push so hard. He's like, you're very strong.
You're very strong. Congratulations. I cycle. I go to cycle bar. So.
But it was my arm. I mean, I guess we do weights at cycle bar, but still,
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure it's an all-inclusive extent, right? Like the whole thing is like, the whole point is the whole body workout.
Yeah. Oh, man. That one really cracked me up, though. Like, you're very strong. I'm like,
thank you.
Thank you all. But you don't, he's like, you don't need to try that hard to like resist. Okay.
We're not proving anything. We're just testing. So, you know.
Like, how do you know? Maybe I'm just like that.
Speak for yourself, man. I'm trying.
I'm yoked up.
All right.
Yeah. My attagirl is that, let's see. I have a senior doggy who has a different ailment every day and decides what food she wants to eat that's different every day. And it's a real struggle bus. So I have been giving her various things to try to just, you know, extend her life and make it as comfortable as possible. And there's actually a girl at spin class who is a veterinarian, and I was like, hey, my vet said to try this and this, but now my dog's over it because, you know, she'll only eat the same thing for 2 days.
And then
we have to move on.
Do you have like a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Like, do you have like a food schedule? So like, you know, like if you were to have children, you would do a different dinner every night of the week?
No. I have to put it in front of her, and it's a smell test. She smells it and walks away, or she smells it and then does like a couple of licks and decides if she likes it. And then sometimes she will devour it and want more, and then the next day she will smell it and act like she's gonna vomit. So it's tough over here.
It's literally like you have a toddler.
So I got her suggestion. The veterinarian at my spin class was that you could try baby food, and that she's probably nauseous. Like, that's why she's like turning her nose up at it.
Oh.
And so then I go, well, thank you for the free advice. I appreciate it. You know? So then I call my vet and I'm like, okay, can we try like an anti-nausea medication? And she's like, we could try it. I don't know if it's going to work. Well, thus far it's been okay. She hasn't puked in a couple of days. So
that's good.
Yeah. But the lengths that I have to go through to like get to this point, right? Have you ever had a pet prescription called in at Costco?
Oh, no. Nope. We haven't gone there yet. No, we have not.
Yeah. I went and picked up a pet prescription from Costco. They're one of the few places that will fill a pet prescription.
Okay, so what kind of prescription were we filling?
The anti-nausea.
Oh, a human prescription for dogs.
Well, it is made for dogs though.
Oh, is it primarily?
Yeah, okay. Because it's based on their weight and stuff. Oh, actually, okay. On the box, it says that it's for like minor vomiting and motion sickness in dogs.
So like from travel mostly?
Probably. So just like having a toddler, this is the first time I think I've ever gone up to a prescription desk and been like, I'm here to pick up a prescription for Gia Bonneville.
Yes,
I gotta go to the vet and be like, I'm here with Gia, and they'll say like, what's your last name? Or like, maybe I'm there to pick up like her, you know, special food or whatever. But it hit different at the pharmacy.
I get it.
Costco.
Yeah, well, the fact that you had to say her name out loud in front of people at Costco is something, you know?
Well, it was funny because I've never even gotten a prescription filled at Costco, so I didn't have a profile or anything. So I had to do a whole profile, blah, blah, blah. And when I went to pick it up, I had to sign stuff. And the first question that she asked me, she's like, you're going to sign blah, blah, blah. And then she looked at it and she's like, oh, this is for a doggy. I was like, yep, sure is. She's like, so you have to sign for Gia. And I'm like, uh-huh.
I know I do.
We'll have to. That's my other girl.
I mean, we're getting there, you know?
Keeping my dog alive and comfortable as long as I can.
Comfortable.
Comfortable, yes.
Oh, keep myself alive thing on her own. Every day she has something new to dig for, to bark at, you know?
I don't know. She's not been real motivated to want to do much. So She seemed to have a little more pep in her step after she took the anti-nausea medication, though.
Oh, good. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So
maybe she's just pukey 24/7.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, poor baby. I know that feeling. It's not fun.
It's not. It's not. And so I've been laying on the floor with her a lot.
I get it. It's that time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, little buddy. Well, on that note. She's still with us. So
true. But man, I do have to pat myself on the back sometimes. The lengths I go to.
I was telling Nicole before we started recording that having an elder dog is like, you know, also like having an elderly parent. It's sad, but fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I'm really happy I didn't have to go through this with my dad. And my mom's like, just take me and make me do this so I have a heart attack when you're ready. I'm fine too. It's fine. I'm like, I'm all right, cool. Like,
yeah, right. Yes. I know. In my like living will and trust, I'm like, pull the plug, please.
Right. Do not resuscitate.
Donate all of my organs. Like
to science. Yes. Nobody needs this trauma. You don't need my trauma.
It's like, it's very specific.
Of course it is. You're a Virgo.
Well, I mean, because you don't want to leave people having to make those tough decisions.
Yeah, this is true.
So I've made the decision for them.
Yeah.
Well, really it's for myself, but you know.
So have you watched The Midnight Club yet on Netflix? I know we're past, way past Atta Girls, but.
No.
I watch it. It's really good. But it deals a lot with like death, incoming death. And like one of the things the girl's asked to do is fill out one of those packets of like what to do with you and your body and the things, because you're young, you have all the, you have the ability to tell people. So like fill out this packet. And I'm like, I want to fill that out just because I think it'd be fun.
Well, it gets your mind going.
Yeah. Something.
It definitely does when you're filling out that paperwork. I mean, I say mine specific, but it's more just like direct, I guess. Because it's not like it's a lot. It's just like to the point.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, don't fuck with me. Order a bunch of fucking flowers.
Oh, God, no.
And don't, you know.
Don't waste money on flowers.
Yeah, it's just, it's very much like, just let everybody go in peace, please.
Yeah, I don't need to be a mockery of anything by any means, unless it's my choice, and then we can mock away.
One thing that would be cool though is like if you really do like could come back as a ghost, or if you like had a spiritual presence and you could actually see who did show up to your funeral, I think that would be funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you might get pissed though, because maybe somebody that you wanted to show up doesn't.
Yeah.
And then you don't want to be pissed in the afterlife.
Well, then you go find them and see why. And then you get pissed.
You said this is when you haunt them. That's how hauntings happen. You probably didn't go to her fucking funeral.
You dumbass.
Now you're getting pushed on the stairs.
Did you attend her funeral? The knowing glare. Now she's pushing you down the stairs. That's why you fell down the stairs, Todd.
Couldn't take the day off to go show up at her funeral. Jesus, God. Todd. I don't even know a Todd. All right. That's probably enough, right? Yep. Josephine Baker, use the code HOMANCE for 15% off at tracysdog.com. You can follow us on Instagram at HOMANCE_chronicles. Send us a DM or an email to HOMANCEpodcast@gmail.com with a request for a hoe of history.
Or if you have a historic hoe you want to talk about, fuck it. Come on.
if you've got your book report ready.
Yeah. we can dial you into the Zoom, y'all. That's fine.
Technology. And then also the Judgment Free Zone on Facebook. It's a closed group. The HOMANCE Chronicles, the Judgment Free Zone. Join there for extra naughty stuff.
HOMANCE out.